A little loud. I'm trying to make sure my prayer warrior over here can hear me. She forgot her hearing aids. And so in conclusion of the service this morning, everybody's paying attention. Nobody left. Oh, now I got a what? I'm just checking to see if y'all were listening. Waiting at my daughter back there doing her thing. Let me do this before I get into this word really quickly. Thank you all for being here. I know you came not just to hear me talk, but to celebrate Diane's retirement this coming Wednesday morning. But I've got to throw one other little thing in there. Sitting in our congregation this morning are two proud great-grandparents. So our congratulations to John and Jeannie McLeod on their little girl. Now, is anybody like I am? It's hard to believe another year is almost gone. Where did it go? If God allows, in a few short days, a new year will begin to unfold. And we don't know what that year holds. But we pray that it will be a good year for all of us. For some, the year did go by fast, but for others, it seemed to just kind of crawl. I don't know which side you're in there. But the one thing about it is it's touched our lives one way or another. The events that happened this year have touched our lives. Some of them great importance on the public level, and some of them of great importance on a more personal level. How did this year affect you? What I want you to do is realize that it's going to leave its mark on each one of us, the good things and the bad things. They'll all affect us in some way. What lessons did we learn? How were we influenced? Are we better for it? Are we worse for it? If I asked you right now to consider this past year and rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best it could possibly be, where would you put it? Was it a really good year, so it's going to get a high mark? Or was it a really bad year, so it gets a low mark? Or was it just another typical year, so it gets somewhere in the middle? But what I want you to do is, while you're thinking about where you're going to rate it, and some of you have already arrived at that, think about, how was I changed during the year? Am I better? Am I worse? Or am I still stuck in neutral, not going anywhere? I want you to think about that as well. One of the things we want to talk about this morning is our progression. Did we progress? Did we regress? Or did we just do what I said, stay in neutral and did neither one? We're right where we were when this year 2019 began. I pray none of us can say, yeah, I'm still there, and none of us went backwards. I pray all of us went forwards. We've gained, we've grown, especially in our walk with the Lord. So I want you to think about that. Just keep it in your mind. What have I done with what God gave me, the opportunities of this past year? Did I take advantage of them? Did I neglect them? Did I just say, oh, well, somebody else can do that? Let them worry with it. Where do we fit in? What kind of year was it? And you're all sitting there thinking about it in your minds. What kind of year was it? I'm not going to give you what type of year it was for me, and you won't give me yours. But I want you to dwell on, how did I progress? Did I progress? I want you to keep that in your mind. As we stand on the threshold of a brand new year, it's going to change a lot for my side of the family, because she's retiring. That means a loss of income. That means Leon can't buy all the toys he wants anymore. I can't go to Cabela's and spend a lot of money anymore. I have to be careful with the money now. And she oversees the money, so she will be careful that I am careful. I'll guarantee it. The thing I keep telling her is, she's going from taking care of patients to trying to have patience with me. So she needs your prayers. In the Gospel according to Luke, and what was Luke's profession? He was a doctor, wasn't he? He was a beloved doctor. Anybody here love their doctors? Sometimes, huh? Jim Dixon does. And some of us shook our heads, yeah. Luke, the beloved physician, gives us this to go into the new year and out of this old year with this. He tells us in his Gospel according to him, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. I'm reading New King James in case you're wondering. This is what he says. And Jesus spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit from this fig tree, and it has not produced. Cut it down." And the caretaker says, "But sir, leave it alone one more year. Let me take care of it. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, very well. But if it doesn't, then you can cut it down." How can that parable apply to you and me? Can it apply to you and me? Who is Jesus talking to here? He's talking to a crowd of thousands to start with, but in that crowd are his own disciples. And he always spoke to his disciples in parables. And he's telling them about this guy. He has his fruit tree. It's a fig tree planted in a vineyard. Now, vineyard, when I hear the word vineyard, I think of grapes. Why is this fig tree planted in a vineyard? Was it tradition? No. Was it normal? Yes. The fig tree being planted in the vineyard is the idea that it was personally selected and planted by its owner. We are personally selected and planted by our owner, who is God. Some theologians say, well, this parable speaks to the nation of Israel. It does. And if the nation of Israel is represented by that fig tree, then that means God is the owner. And Jesus is the caretaker. Are you starting to see a little something here? We also are represented by this fig tree. We're planted in a certain spot to do certain things. And what is that we're supposed to be doing? Bearing fruit. We're supposed to be fruit bearers. Are we? Or are we like this fig tree when the owner of us, who is God, comes looking for the fruit and sees none? Jesus has to intercede on our behalf. And does Jesus intercede on our behalf? Is there scriptural proof of that? Where is it at? Anybody know its address? I'll tell you where it is. 1 John 2:2. "And he himself is a propitiation." Now that word means the one that pardons us. He's sitting there at the right hand of his Father going, "I know he failed. He's just a mortal man. Forgive him." He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the whole world. If we are in him, he is sitting there in our behalf, defending us. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I could have a better lawyer than Jesus Christ himself. And he's sitting there with the judge. And he's doing my part of it, taking care of me. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. I want you to get that. He called us by glory and virtue. He just didn't happen to say, "Okay, Leon, you're going to become a Bible study teacher." He called us. And what does it, that Paul said over there? I press forward to the mark of the high calling that God has given me. So each one of us in here this morning has a calling. It may not be a preacher's position. It may not be a musician's position, song director's position. It may not be a teacher's position. But there is something God has called us to do, and that is bear fruit. And therefore, no matter what 2019 has been like, we are to take it and go with it as our portion. And we should have borne fruit throughout this whole year. We have a few days left. Any of us bearing fruit in the last few days? We better. Because the owner will come back to see if we are bearing fruit. The one thing about this past year that we can't do, that we all have in common, we cannot live it over. Not one single minute of it can we live it over. We lived it the way we lived it, whether it was the right way or the wrong way, whether we took advantage of the opportunities given us or we let them go. I've told you the story about how I was wearing a shirt that said Brotherhood. I was in Food Lion. And this woman came up to me and she goes, "What does that mean?" And immediately I go to the hunting mode and I say, "Michael Waddell is a professional hunter on television. He's got this thing called the Brotherhood. It refers to hunting." "Oh." And she walks off. And almost immediately the Holy Spirit hit me and says, "You missed your chance." I searched that store over for that woman, couldn't find her. I went out in the parking lot, couldn't find her. I missed my chance, and it felt bad that I missed that chance. But God says, "Okay, you missed that one, you blew it, but we'll give you another shot at it." He's the God of second chances, is he not? He says, "I've given you everything you need in life to succeed." But yet, when somebody comes to us and says, "I'd like for you to do this," we're kind of like, "Well, wait a minute. I need to pray about that." I'm sorry, but when we tell somebody I need to pray about something, we offend them. Not because we're praying, but because they already have prayed upon, "Who shall I go to, Lord?" And God says, "This one." And we're saying, "Well, your prayers are no good. The decision's already been made." You're not just offending the person that was praying. We're offending God by saying, "Let me pray about it." God says, "What else do you want? I've given you everything you need to be successful. And yet you want to sit there and pray about it or think about it. Or I'll let you know later or whatever excuse we can find." We have no excuses. None. If we think we do, I want to talk to you, because I'm going to show you in God's word where it says we do not have an excuse. Not my word, God's word. This landowner, this guy that's got this vineyard, he's looking at this tree and it's not doing anything but taking up space. Every year he comes back for 3 years. Finally, he's had enough. And he says, "Cut that crazy thing down. I'm tired of looking at it. It's not doing any good. It's taking up space in my vineyard." But that little old caretaker says, "But wait a minute. What if we give it another chance? What if I take care of it? I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. I'll nurture it. I'll make sure it produces fruit. But if it doesn't, then you can cut it down." As we go through every day of life, Jesus Christ is doing that exact same thing in our behalf. He said, "Wait a minute, Dad. I know they're not walking the way they should. I know they're not doing the things that you want them to do. But give them another chance." I'll send them the Holy Spirit. He can take over down there. He can be the one that gives them the unction to do what they need to do. And I'll fertilize them every now and then. I'll put a blessing on them that they can't handle. I'll strengthen them. I am their strength. I'll be with them. I'll encourage them. And yet we still go, well, let me think about it. Let me see if it's what I want to do. And there's where the problem is. Self. We get self in the way. This fig tree, for some reason, wasn't bearing fruit. I don't know why it wasn't. But it never bore fruit in 3 years. And the landowner wanted it gone until the caretaker interceded. Jesus Christ intercedes for us, doesn't he? We've already talked about that. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's given us everything we need. So we don't have excuses. Well, how does that pertain to salvation? We have no excuse not to get saved. We have no excuse not to live a life every day the best way we can possibly live it in accordance with God's word. We have no excuse. And when we do stumble, Jesus picks us back up. Tells us, go on, continue, don't stop. We've got to get self out of the way. Even the soil that we're planted in is blessed by God. Leon, where did you get that idea? Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Watch the next word. Rooted and established in the faith, built up in him as you have been taught, abounding in it with all thanksgiving. We ought to be glad that God chooses to use us. I have a personal thing I'll share with you. Most of you know what it is. I do not believe God ever saved the first soul just to warm a pew. He's got something for everybody. I love the ones when I try to build up the choir here at Fair Havens. I can't sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Doesn't say sing like you got a great talent, like you're the best singer out in the world. It says make a joyful noise. I heard y'all singing this morning. It sounded beautiful. John, I could hear the bass, brother. Thank you. Appreciate that back there. We are to do what God wants us to do, and that is to bear fruit. What kind of fruit am I supposed to bear? Well, we do so when we're supposed to be leading people into the Lord. We can't save them. We can lead them to him. He saves them. But we're also to have joy, peace, and all of those fruits of the Spirit that are over there in Galatians 5, 22 and on down. We're to have all of that about us. The worst witness I've ever seen is a frowning Christian. How many people are you going to influence with a frown on your face? One of the things I love about my wife over here is everywhere we go, people talk about her smile. She's always smiling. So we need to smile because if nothing else, it makes people wonder what we're up to. So I'm sorry, did I choke you on that? Oh, okay. As God's people, we're to build our lives on him, not on other people, and not on circumstances. I'm talking to Leon now. I've got to learn to let circumstances go. Maybe you do too. I don't know. I can't depend on other people for everything. Because somewhere along the way, they're going to fail. You can't depend on me either for everything. Because I'm going to fail. And we all say, well, that's just human nature. It is. But we're supposed to be in charge of that human nature, aren't we? Isn't that what we were told? The old nature is gone, is it? Is it gone? Or is it hanging on? Has it got a death grip on your hand, your arm, whatever? We're supposed to turn all of that stuff loose and let it go. Put it right down there and don't pick it back up again. And some of us will go through that motion of putting it down there and we'll go back and we'll sit back down. Everything's hunky-dory for about 5 seconds. Then here comes the enemy. You really didn't leave it up there. You've got it back again. You'll see, it'll pop back up. And sure enough, it'll pop up. Remember I told you earlier we were influenced by things that happened this year? Are you not influenced by things that happened this year? I don't want to go to the public level because you all know what's going on. But how about the personal level? What happened in 2019 that's influenced your life and maybe even changed your life? Maybe you stumbled somewhere and you looked back and saw what it was and you got rid of it. That's a good thing. Whatever made you stumble. But if you stumbled again over the same thing, you really didn't get rid of it, did you? It's like a friend of mine once told me, I can have all the faith in the world to believe I can run through a brick wall until I hit that wall. And then I realize I don't have as much faith as I thought I did. This morning, do we have as much faith as we think we do? Are we producing fruit for the Lord? Are we walking in His light? You're planted in His vineyard. The world is where we're planted. The harvest is out there. But are we just a barren fig tree that's doing little or nothing for the Lord? I'm trying to encourage us. 2019 is about gone. And if God tarries, 2020 will open its door to us. What can we do differently in 2020? We're not only losing a year, we're losing a decade. So what can we do differently? Can we allow this caretaker to come and work with us to help us bear fruit? Or are we going to keep the door shut and leave 2020 as we left 2019? Got one more verse for you. I don't see anybody in the hallway telling me, hurry up, slow down, whatever. So, as this year draws to a close, I want us all to be aware of one thing. God has seen everything that we did. He knows our response. Now, that could be good and that could be bad. You may need to say, Lord, forgive me. John 15:5 puts it this way. I am the vine. And you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We're all fig trees planted in the vineyard of the Lord. If you look around, not in here, but out in this world, there's a tremendous harvest that needs to come in. Can we do our part to help bring that harvest in? Can we live in such a manner that it makes people hungry for the Lord? Is that at all possible? Yes, it is. We just have to be willing to give up those things we're holding on to. is keeping us from doing that. And I mean give them up. Completely and totally give them up. Are you that way this morning? Are you looking inside of yourself right now and going, am I bearing fruit? Can I bear more fruit? God, what is it that you would have me to do the rest of this year and in next year if you tarry that would bring glory, honor, and praise to you? How can I be a fig tree that produces the fruit the owner is seeking? The key, if you're connected to him, stay connected to him. If you're not connected to him, I encourage you to get connected to him. Because one day, the owner's going to come looking at the fig trees to see if we're bearing fruit. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for the time you've given me this morning, for this message that you've blessed me with. I pray, Lord, it's been given in the exact way you wanted it. I pray, Father, it's not only been in the ears of the people, but it's gotten rooted into the hearts of the people. And I pray, Lord, that we will all determine that as long as you tarry and give us breath, that we will be fruitful fig trees for you. Bless us, Father, now as we come to the time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.